looking back over all the things that he had done in his life. 23rd Psalm has 118 words in it. So it's a very small psalm. It's a very small song that David had recorded. 118 words is all that it has, but it has 17 personal pronouns in this psalm. 17 personal pronouns in the psalm. And so when you think about this psalm and all that it says, many could probably, I would say, quote the entire psalm. There might be some of you that could actually quote the entire psalm. I don't know. I can quote a lot of it. I don't know if I can do the whole thing. I'm not. That's not my job here today, is not to try to quote it from memory. But I do want us to read it. I'm going to read it out loud. If you'd stand with me, we're going to read the entire psalm, verses 1 through 6. I have outlined this, and I don't know if I ever gave you this outline. As I read the 23rd Psalm, I just yesterday in our Bible reading, I think we read it yesterday, right? Yes, because this morning I read 24. I was really touched by the 23rd Psalm again. And I was asking the Lord for permission to preach out of this, and He never said no, so I'm going to preach out of the 23rd Psalm. Is that all right with you?
Amen.
I get my directive from God, though, so even if you don't want me to, I'm sorry. He didn't say, no, don't preach out of that. Matter of fact, the Lord has told me several times when I don't know what to preach, He says, just find something from my Bible. It's all good. Just find anything from there. No matter what it is that you find from the Word of God, I will bless it and I will use it. I said, well, Lord, what about 1 Chronicles, chapters 1 through 10? He said, yep. I have preached out of chapter, is it 4, on Jabez, the prayer of Jabez. I love that prayer. That is an amazing, amazing prayer. But anyway, I'm going to read it and you just follow along. Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For Thou art with me. Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Father, bless the message. Use it for Your honor and for Your glory. Speak to every heart that's here. Lord, You know if there's anybody in this room that's not truly saved, if they're not truly a believer, if they're not born again, You know that. So we ask for the convicting power of the Holy Spirit to be in this place. Lord, I pray that You'd also encourage each and every one of us as Christians to live a better Christian life, to be more serious in these last days that we're living in. So Lord, bless us and be with us and meet with us now as we gather around Your Word, and we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I believe that there is no other religion on earth that is as personal as Christianity.
Amen.
Muslims, they don't have a personal God. They have a God filled with hatred and a God that despises human beings. Hindus and Buddhists and Shintos and all of the other religions that are out there, they don't have a loving, personal God. Even many of our cults today don't have a loving and personal God. There is really no other religion on earth that is as personal as Christianity, because our God is a loving, caring, graceful, merciful. Amen? Isn't He a wonderful God? Isn't He a good God? Is He good all the time, or just when you're having good things happen to you? No, He's good all the time. God is a good God all the time. Charles Spurgeon said this about the 23rd Psalm. There is no inspired title to the psalm, and none is needed, for it records no special event and needs no other key than that which every Christian may find in his own bosom. Sitting under a spreading tree with his flock around him, like Bunyan's shepherd boy in the valley of humiliation, we picture David singing this unrivaled pastoral with a heart as full of gladness as it could be. Or if the psalm be a product of his after years, we are sure that his soul returned in contemplation to the lonely water brooks which rippled among the pastures of the wilderness, where in early days she had been wont to dwell. This is the pearl of Psalms, whose soft and pure radiance delights every single eye. The position of this psalm is worthy of notice. It follows the 22nd psalm, which is the psalm of the cross. There are no green pastures in the 22nd psalm. There are no still waters on the other side of the 23rd psalm. It is only after we have read, my God, why hast thou forsaken me, that we come to, the Lord is my shepherd. You can't come to the 23rd psalm unless you've gone through the 22nd psalm, the psalm of the cross. We must by experience know the value of bloodshedding and see the sword awakened against the shepherd before we shall be able to truly know the sweetness of the good shepherd's care. Note the last words of the psalm. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. These are celestial notes, more fitted for the eternal mansions than for these dwelling places below the clouds. Oh, that we may enter into the spirit of the psalm as we read it, and then we shall experience the days of heaven upon earth. Somebody called this psalm the He and Me Psalm. The He and Me Psalm. The emphasis is upon the fact that there is nothing between man's soul and God. It's good to have a shepherd, not a cattle driver. You know what a cattle driver does? They drive the cattle. You know what a shepherd does? He leads. How important is that? I have this little psalm outline, and if I've given it to you, and if you've written it in your margin, I'm going to give it to you again if you don't have it. But each verse, I've outlined each verse in the 23rd psalm. The very first thing that we see is the personal aspect of the shepherd. The personal aspect of the shepherd. If you want to write that down, write it down. I'll just give it to you. That is the first thing that I see anyway, is the personal aspect of the shepherd. We have the shepherd and his flock. If you know anything about shepherds and sheep, it's amazing to see. What does the Bible liken us as? Sheep. Now, please don't take offense to this, but sheep are not the brightest animals on the face of the planet. Either are we. Amen. Amen. Either are we. If a governor can sit in Albany and sign a bill that allows abortion right up to the time in which a baby is born, that's pretty dumb if you ask me. If the lawmakers in this state can pass such ridiculous, horrendous laws, or in our country pass such horrendous laws, it doesn't show how smart humanity really is. But we have the shepherd and his flock. Go over to Isaiah chapter 40. Isaiah chapter 40. Isaiah chapter 40. Look at verses 10 and 11. Isaiah 40, 10 and 11. Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 10. Behold, the Lord God will come with strong hand, and His arm shall rule for Him. Behold, His reward is with Him, and His work before Him. He shall feed, I like these words, He shall feed His flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with His arm. Do you know that God cares about the babies and the children of this world? Do you know that God cares about the babies and the children of New York State? You say, well, how could God allow the governor and the Democrats to pass such a horrendous law? Remember, the judge is standing at the door, according to James chapter 5 and verse 9 that we looked at in Sunday school. The judge is close. God will take care of those babies. Please rest assured that God knows what He's doing. Also, rest assured that God will take care of those men and women with evil hearts. Throughout the Bible, we know that God will take care of that. God will deal with that in His timing and not in our timing. But I like the words that we see here. Again, He shall feed His flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with His arm and carry them in His bosom and shall gently lead those that are with young. That is a picture of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He is an amazing shepherd. You know what He does? He loves us sheep. He knows that we're not the brightest, but He loves us anyway. Isn't that good to know? He knows that you're not the smartest. I'm not the smartest. He knows that we have our issues in life, and yet He still loves us. He knows that even as a saint that still sins, I may not be classified as a sinner any longer, but I still have an issue with the old nature that follows me everywhere I go as a shadow follows a person. And so I'm still dealing with this thing called the sin nature. And so are you. There's not a human being alive, there's not a Christian alive that doesn't wrestle and fight with the sin nature every day of his or her life. We all fight with that. I fight with it, and I know that you do also, don't you? You say amen? We all fight with our sin nature. And you know, there are times that I win. I get a victory. I say, no, I'm not going to look at that, listen to that, say that. And there are other times that I lose, and I don't win the victory. There are times that I say things that I shouldn't say. Listen, I don't curse and swear. Okay? But there are things that I say that I know I shouldn't say. You know, one of these days we're going to give an account of our idle words. The idle words. How many idle words do you say in a day? I say plenty. I say plenty. The idle words. How about our idle thoughts? Do you know God knows every thought that you think? And we're going to give an account of the idle thoughts, the idle words, the idle actions that we have. So there are days that there are times that I can get some victory over these things, and there are times that I don't get the victory. And whose fault is that? My fault. It's your fault. I don't blame nothing on God. Nothing. But aren't you glad that even when you give in, and you know that you did something wrong, said something wrong, thought something wrong, isn't it good to know that your shepherd still loves you? I find that amazing. I find that I have a loving shepherd that loves me so much that the rest of that verse 1 is, I shall not want. The Lord is my shepherd. 1 Peter, you don't need to turn there. I have it written down just for the sake of time because I got a lot of scripture here and we're going to run out of time if I don't get going here. 1 Peter 2:25 says, for ye are as sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls. Thank God for that. Go to the book of John. John 10 is such a blessing, isn't it? John chapter 10, talking about the great shepherd, the shepherd Jesus Christ. I am the shepherd. He says, I am the good shepherd in verse 11. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. Thank God for that. Look at John chapter 10. Look at verse 14. Again, it repeats from 10 down to verse 14. I am the good shepherd. And what is the next few words? And know my sheep. And know my sheep. And am known of mine. Isn't it good to know that, listen, when the first day you got saved, thank God for that, you were saved, but you were also signed, sealed, and as well delivered as anything. And you sinned after you got saved. Okay, you're no longer a sinner, as the Bible puts it, but you still sinned after you got saved. Isn't it good to know that your shepherd didn't cast you off into the wilderness and say, that's it, you've gone against me, you've gone against my word, you've gone against the Holy Spirit, that's it, get out of here, I don't want to have anything to do with you anymore? Isn't it good to know that we have a shepherd that still loves us and takes us in? Look at verse 27 and 28. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them. I know them. He says, I know them. He knows you personally. The Lord is my shepherd. He knows us personally. He knows my name. He knows my thoughts. He knows my desires. He knows my intents. He knows everything about me. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life. Lord, you're still giving me eternal life, even though you still know me? Like you know me? Isn't that good to know? Isn't that good news? I'm trying to give you some good things here today. Amen. I was a little rough during Sunday school, but I'm trying to give you some good stuff here. It's good to know that even though God knows you personally and knows what you think and knows how you talk and knows how you act, He knows your attitude from day to day, He knows mine. It's still, He says, I give unto them eternal life and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Wow, thank you, Lord. Thank you. He goes before, a shepherd always goes before the sheep and makes sure of their safety. Shepherd never allows a sheep to get into danger. Without knowing, you know, unknowingly. He always, a shepherd will always protect the sheep. The shepherd protects and provides. And there's really, listen, can I help you here a little bit? There's no need to worry. Stop your worrying. You know, we worry about 80% of the things in life that we can't even do anything about. And we have people in this room that are worry warts. You worry about everything. You worry about the weather. You worry about your health. You worry about this, and you worry about everything. And you're giving yourself physically, you're giving yourself an ulcer. You're giving yourself high blood pressure. You're putting your body physically into a dilemma because all you do is you worry about everything. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. What does that mean, I shall not want? I have no needs for anything outside of Him. Amen? I have no needs outside of Jesus Christ. Do you know if you had no money and all you had was Jesus Christ, that'd be enough? If you had no retirement, you had no job, you had nothing. Do you know that just having Christ is plenty? Because that's the way a shepherd deals with things. A shepherd is always looking ahead, saying, where do I take my sheep next? I want to make sure I get them to green pastures and flowing water and making sure that they have the food and the nourishment that they need. Do you know the sheep does not have to worry about where it's going to get its next mouthful of grass? Do you know a sheep does not have to worry about where he's going to get his next drink of water? Do you know why? Why? Because the shepherd is always thinking ahead, saying, there's the pasture over there. There's the water hole over there. There's the stream over there. There's the river over there. I got to take my sheep. And the sheep just follow along and happy as can be with a great big smile on their face, if sheep even smile. And they're just producing wool and having a grand old time. But you worry about everything. You worry about your health, and you worry about this, and if things don't go your way, you get all upset, and you worry about it, and you stay home, and you do this, and you do that. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. At the end of the day, He leads His sheep back to the fold, and He watches, and He examines each and every one of them. If just one out of the huge flock is bruised, you know what that shepherd does? Takes out his oil, takes out his whatever he needs, and he makes sure that that little bruise or that little cut or that little thing is tended to. That's how much the shepherd cares about his sheep. That's his livelihood. Do you know how people get saved today? We are the livelihood of God. But most of us don't think that way. I've got my problems and I've got my issues and I've got this going on in my life and I got that going on in my life and I worry about this and I worry about that and what's going to happen here and what's going to happen there and I worry, worry, worry. And the shepherd's got it all under control. Why don't you just back off and let the shepherd do what he is good at doing? And why don't you just back off and let yourself do what you're good at doing? Stop your worrying. Amen. And so he rubs the oil in it. He soothes it all out. He heals. He cares about his sheep. Matthew 11:28-30, it says, Jesus said these words, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is what? Light. Light. Quit worrying. Quit worrying about everything. The Lord is my shepherd. If He be a shepherd to no one, He's a shepherd to me. But you turn that around to you. I just made that statement, but you make that statement to yourself. If He is a shepherd to no one, He's a shepherd to you. The Lord is my shepherd. Do you know the words? Take a look at that verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd. Not past tense. Look at it. Come on. Look at it. The Lord is my shepherd. Amen? The Lord is my shepherd. I take that as present tense. Right now. This morning. January 27th. Thank you. Birthday. Birthday guys right here. January 27th. 2019 at exactly, I have the exact time, 11:49. He is my shepherd. He's your shepherd if you're saved. And there's nothing to worry about. Well, yeah, we're in church. There's nothing to worry about. As soon as I get back in my car and go home, I got all kinds of things to worry about. No, you don't. You have nothing to worry about. You have nothing to worry about. The words are always present tense. When you go home this afternoon, when you are in the midst tomorrow or next week or next month of all kinds of problems going through, coming into your life, He is still your shepherd at that very moment. But we want to go back 3,000 years ago when David possibly wrote this and we say, well, that was good 3,000 years ago. But it was good 3 minutes ago, 3 seconds ago. It'll be good 3 minutes from now. It'll be good tomorrow, Monday morning, January 28th. It'll be good next week. It'll be good next year. It'll be good. Listen, it'll be always good. The Lord is my shepherd. Right now, He's my shepherd. Is He your shepherd? Is He your shepherd? If you're saved, He's your shepherd. Quit your worrying. Quit your worrying. Stop complaining. Never heard a sheep complain. Sheep don't complain. You know what they do? They follow the shepherd. They follow because you know what they do? They trust the shepherd. Sheep always trusts a good leader. Jesus is a good, He's the great shepherd. He's a great leader. Will He ever lead you to a poisoned water hole? Will He ever lead you to the desert where there's no grass? Will He ever lead you into danger where the wolves are and all of the dangers of the world? Will He ever do that? He will always guide us right and guide us in the right path. Can you trust your shepherd? Jesus Christ, can you trust Him? Yes or no? Amen. You can trust Him. He's going to bring you through. He's going to help you out. He's going to soothe the wounds. He's going to provide the care that you need, the food and the clothing. And He's going to take care of all of that for you. He's going to work out the details. You know what you and I do? We have to follow Him. We follow. Where He leads me, I will follow. And what He feeds me, I will swallow. Amen? Brother Dawson used to always say that. He supplies our every need. I don't have a want. Boy, do we have lots of wants today. Oh, my goodness. And I fall in the same category as most of us in this room. There's things that I want. I could use a new fill in the blank. Boy, I'd like to have fill in the blank. Man, I could drive a new, yeah. Man, I'd like to live in a new. We all have these little things. We have these desires. We have these wants. The Bible said, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. That word means, it's an old English word. It simply means I have no needs outside of the shepherd. I don't need anything outside of what Jesus Christ provides for me. Is He going to provide you a shiny new Jaguar? XKZMMICKE? No. He may not. Probably not. You know, or the new Cadillac, or the new this, or the new that. Not necessarily. Whatever He gives you, be appreciative of that. But we live in America. We watch the commercials. We see the shiny. We see all the stuff. We see the food commercials drive you crazy. Oh, I want that. You got to run out and buy that and eat that, right? Or you got to run out and buy that and put it on credit and you got to do all this stuff. And then we worry when we can't pay the bills and then we say, Lord, how come You're not taking care of me like You said You would? He said, I never told you to buy that in the first place. Amen. Amen. I never told you to buy that. Yeah, but you worked it out. Hey, listen, you know, things work out in life. It's not necessarily of God. I'm going to tell you that right now. I hear this all the time. Well, I was able to get this huge, great loan to go ahead and buy this thing, and I just think God was in it. Oh yeah, now you're having a hard time paying the bills, or listen, God may not have been in that. You were in it. I was in it. That was a need, or that was something that I wanted. God never said, go ahead and do it. But we like to try to spiritualize everything. He supplies all of our needs. Philippians 4:19, but my God shall supply your need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, starting in verse 7. Second Corinthians chapter 12, look at verse 7. Paul, of course, is writing to the church. He says in verse 7, I'm just trying to shorten this up a little bit. And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. Paul, the apostle, had a thorn in his flesh. It was there by Satan himself. And then in verse 8, for this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And so Paul has this thing going on in his life, and we're not told what it is. Don't even try to figure out what it is. Nobody knows. Did you know that I brought a message not long ago, the thorns of the Christian life? We all have them. We've got thorns. We go through life with pricky things around us all the time. With thorns. The thorns of life. You might pray about it 3, 4, 5, 1,000 times. And this might be the message you get from God. In verse 9, and He said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. There are times that people have come to me and said, Pastor, I prayed about this thing so often, it's not working. The only words that I can actually give in response to that is, my grace is sufficient. My grace is sufficient. Yeah, but Pastor, you don't understand, I'm having a hard time dealing with this thing. My grace is sufficient. But I don't know if I can. My grace is sufficient. Who are you resting on? Christ or yourself? Are you putting your faith in Jesus Christ that His grace is sufficient? Or are you saying His grace is not sufficient? How many times we Christians, I include myself up here, that we have thought that God's grace was not sufficient enough? But let me ask you a question. Is God's grace always sufficient? Yes or no? Yes, it is. Is it always sufficient? Regardless if it's your will or not? Always. 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 Listen, it's important that we understand that when Jesus said to Paul, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. I mean, I think the Lord was saying to Paul, listen, I know you got this thorn, and I know it's bothering you, and I know it hurts, and I know you're going through a lot of trials and tribulations. I understand that, Paul, but I just want you to understand one thing. I want you to trust my grace, not your strength. I want you to glean and gain from my strength, his strength, and not from your strength. But how often do we try to throw our own strength in there, and we try to usurp the strength of God? We try to go beyond the grace of Jesus Christ Himself. We have to understand that I don't have a want or a need for anything that's temporary at all. Matter of fact, let me say this. You might disagree, but I don't have any want or need for anything eternally either, because it's all taken care of for me. It's all taken care of. You know what the Lord's doing right now as we speak? I believe He's still working on the mansion. Is He working on yours? Working on mine. Boy, He's making it special. Can't wait to move in. How about you? We're moving into a mansion. As Chris always says, we're going to be kicking up gold dust. I don't know if it's gold dust. I think it's solid gold, brother. All right. That's his theological take on the whole thing. But I do know this, that there is at least one street paved with gold. And the offshoots, I think, are all paved with gold. And my mansion is going to be an amazing mansion. I mean, we hear about, we read about it in the Bible. There's really, folks, there's nothing for you to worry about. My whole future has all been planned by God, by Jesus Christ. In my Father's house are many mansions. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And so we've got it all figured out. God has it all figured out. My grace is sufficient. So when you're going through a hard time in your life, and you're physical, financial, family, whatever, you're just in a bad mood. And some of you get in bad moods. Amen? You ever have a day where you're just in a bad mood? Well, everybody's saying, whoa, what's wrong with you? I'm in a bad mood. Leave me alone. You ever have anybody tell you that? Countless. I wish I had a quarter for every time somebody says, I'm in a bad mood. Leave me alone. Okay. Your wish is my your wish is my, forget it. I'm staying away from you. But my grace is sufficient. Remember that little phrase that Paul was told by Christ himself. My grace is sufficient. Yeah, but. Stop with the yeah, buts. My grace is sufficient. So, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. So, the first thing that we see out of all six of these is the personal aspect of the shepherd. Number two, I got six total. And we just got done with one. So, we're on number two. That'll tell you how long we're going to be today. But I got to be back. I got to be down to Covert by two. So, I got to move along here. The second thing that I see in this is verse number two. Let me read it and then I'll give you the second point. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. You know, I contemplated on that. It says, He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. There are times in your life, in my life, that God has to literally stop you and say, it's time for you to lie down for a little while and take a breather and stop running around and being so worried and complaining about everything. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. The shepherd at times would have to literally make the sheep lie down because they're just on the go all day long. There are times that God has to do that. He has to make me lie down. He has to stop me. And so He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. I liken the green pastures and the waters as the Word of God. He has to stop me at times and say, stop what you're doing and read my Word. Stop what you're doing and get to church. Turn off the stupid television and have some time in God's Word or in prayer or both. I'm sure that most of us spend a little bit too much time on TV with the TV on. Amen? I'm going to say this. I've said it before. Get mad at me all you want. Tonight we have a service at 6 o'clock. If you have your TV on at 6 o'clock, I'm going to pray that God blows it up. Will He do it? No, He probably won't do it. He'll let you sit there and stew in your... But at least I'm praying that at least God will bring to your remembrance. If you have your stupid television on tonight at 6 o'clock, shame on you. If you can't make it to church because of physical reasons or whatever, turn the TV off at 6 o'clock and spend an hour reading your Bible and praying. Or at least fellowshipping with God. Or fellowshipping with your spouse, but keep the thing turned off. On Wednesday night, if you can't make it here at 7 o'clock, don't turn the TV on at 7 o'clock. Spend an hour in prayer and Bible study. God, blow them all up, God. Just push. Blow them up. Send a lightning strike down from heaven and just boom! Blow them all up. You say, well, that's very destructive. Well, yeah, God, just shut the whole system down or something. I don't know. But number two is the provision applied by the shepherd. The provision. Number one is the personal aspect of the shepherd. Thank God He's my shepherd. He's your shepherd. But number two, the provision applied by the shepherd. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. You know, He provides them with that green pasture of rest and nourishment and the still water. I liken the still water to sometimes that still small voice of the Holy Spirit speaking to your heart quietly and softly. Isn't that how God usually works? Normally He doesn't say, "Hey!" Usually it's that still small voice, right? You're reading the Bible and it's a still small voice. Holy Spirit says, read here, do this, go there, give that track out. It's a still small voice. And so He provides the green pastures of rest and nourishment and the still waters of what we need. You know, the Word of God is our nourishment, spiritually speaking. The Word of God is your nourishment and my nourishment. Matthew 4:4 says, "But He answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." That is the key verse of a Faith Bible Institute that we're taken here in school, in church. The Scriptures are always truthful. The Scriptures of truth are always fresh and rich. You ever just read along, and sometimes you might not have every day like this. Maybe you do, I don't know. But there are times that I might have some dry times in reading. I'm just being honest. There's sometimes maybe a little dry time reading there. Boy, then there's all of a sudden, it's, wow. God, how come I didn't see that last year when I read that? How come I didn't see it last week and I read that verse last week? God, I'm trying to give you something fresh and nourishing today because you need it right now. That's what the shepherd does. The shepherd leads the sheep to nourishment and fresh water and a fresh green pasture. And He makes them lie down and feed. So the Scriptures of truth are always fresh and rich. Much like the green pastures. The Bible says, He leadeth me. I like that. He leadeth me. He maketh me to lie down, but then He leadeth me beside the still waters. I like that. He doesn't drive me as a cattle. He doesn't drive me as a cattle driver. He doesn't drive me like cattle need to be driven. He leads me. He says, come follow me. And what do? We're to follow the Lord. Goes over here, we go over here. He goes over there, we go over there, right? Amen? Where He leads me, the song says, I will follow. And the Lord is always providing for you and I. Always. He'll always provide your needs. I can't overemphasize this today. There's nothing to worry about. There's nothing to worry about. But there's nothing to worry about. But I don't know where I'm going to get my next check. That's nothing to worry about. Is He your shepherd or not? If He's your shepherd, is He going to take care of you? Yes or no? Well, maybe. No, there's no maybes about this. If He's your shepherd and you're one of His sheep, will He take care of you? Yes or no? Yes. Is there any? Do you have to be concerned about every little tiny thing? No, you don't need to manipulate heaven to get what you need and what you want. Provision applied by the shepherd. Thirdly, I'll end with this one and we'll finish it tonight. Thirdly, patience allotted by the shepherd. Oh my goodness, Lord, do you have patience with me or what?
Amen.
Terry, there's few on earth that I need as much patience as with you. Is anybody else like that in this room? Am I the only one that God needs to have a whole bunch of patience? Amen. Come on, folks. I know you're half asleep and you're tired and it's warm in here and the preacher's boring and the message is boring and blah, blah, blah. Come on.
Yes.
It's always a rebel in every crowd. Always, always, always. He restoreth my soul. I love those four words. He restoreth my soul. Let me ask you this. We'll be done here. Does your soul ever need a little restoration periodically? Your soul needs a little restoration once in a while. It's like your house. You need to put a little paint in it once in a while. You need to replace the carpet once in a while. You need to put a little TLC in it. Your car maybe needs to be cleaned. This has to be done and that has to be done. You have to put a little effort into things, right? There's times in our life that we need to do these things. Quite often, things need to be restored again. You just sit back and don't do anything at all, and your place, your house, your car, your clothes, everything is just going to be ruined after a while. I'm thankful that God spiritually can restore my soul. I'm thankful that you ought to be thankful that God can take care of your soul. And yet, it takes a lot of patience on the shepherd's part. That's why verse 3, I believe it's patience allotted by the shepherd. There is a need for our soul to be restored at all times. Sometimes it seems like more than others. My soul needs to be restored. And your soul needs to be restored. But the Bible says, He, God, restoreth my soul. He leadeth me. There's that little term again, lead. You see that a lot here. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness. Boy, after He gets done with your soul, you know what He wants you to do? He wants you to walk in righteousness. But He's got to restore your soul first before you can walk in righteousness. If you've got sin in your life, how are you going to walk in righteousness? If you've got sinful thoughts and sinful words and sinful actions, how can you walk in righteousness? You can't. You need restoration first. You need to get your heart right with God first. You need to get off that blessed assurance of yours and start doing something for God. You need to start performing like a Christian should perform. You need to get involved in Christianity. This is not a game. This is not the Holiday Inn. This is not a vacation we're on. We're soldiers. Some of you men, any women in here ever a soldier? Some of you men were soldiers. You're in the armed forces. It wasn't easy when you first got in it. It wasn't easy even when you got out, maybe. There's a battle raging today. We saw it last week in Albany. We saw it the week before in Albany when the gender thing was passed. We're going to see it until the 100 days of Andrew Cuomo is up. He's going to pass all of this extreme progressiveness. All these bills are flocking and flooding Albany, and they're going to eventually reach to us. A soul has to be restored before it can walk in righteousness. And that's God's job, is to restore our soul. Folks, we need to get our hearts right. We need to get our hearts right. I'm so glad that we have a patient God. Good night. He's patient with me. Day after day, for the last 47 years, going on 48 years, me, let alone all of us here together. Patience. I'll finish this point tonight. I didn't get to all the scriptures. We'll have to get into it tonight. And I know I get complaints. Well, you need to finish your sermons. Well, I'm sorry. I got a lot here. There's a lot here. And so we will finish it tonight. If you can be here, fine. If not, you're going to miss it. Father, thank You again for the message. Thank You, Lord, for the passages of Scripture that we looked at this morning. I'm so glad that You restore our souls. I'm so glad that You can lead us in the paths of righteousness. For Your name's sake.